But welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And, you know, Sandy, I wanted to talk a little bit about this variant of the Omicron.
This is like the show that keeps having another act, you know? You go to a show that's supposed to have three acts, you're ready to leave, and now it's on act number six. Yeah. I feel like we all have COVID fatigue.
I know we do.
I think we have COVID restriction fatigue. And so I was surprised to see some cities across the country reinvoking real strict mandates about this. I think it has to, my hope is that in the future, the restrictions associated with COVID will be related to the hospital systems. And if the hospital systems are doing well and are not filled with patients and are not being overrun by COVID, that the world will be allowed to live more or less as it does in the face of the risk of illness, which, of course, we all live with every day, risks of various kinds of illness. But it will depend clearly on whether this next variant is like Omicron, mild or even milder than Omicron, in which case the hospital impact shouldn't be so very great, in which case restrictions, at least required restrictions, might not have to be very great.
So if, let's say, it spreads, which we know it is going to spread,
sure,
and people don't... Sam gave me that word again.
Quarantine.
That people don't quarantine and that people contract it and it spreads like wildfire because people aren't going to, you know.
Yeah.
We're at the point where we're not even considering those kind of things and people aren't going to go in and get checked and then it becomes a wildfire.
Well, wildfire. It depends on whether the people who've already had COVID have some kind of resistance to it.
So Congresswoman Gwen Moore has had it three times now.
Yeah. So she doesn't have much resistance to it.
So,
but, I mean, it really depends on what the disease becomes. I mean, if it morphs into something that is like a serious cold,
we can get past that.
We can get past the notion that the government or that there have to be interventions into society about it. I do think that society has learned about masks. And whereas when I traveled to Japan and Korea several years ago, and it made me smile to see all these people walking around with masks on, they had already learned their lessons. They had learned their lessons with some earlier respiratory illnesses that spread there and not so much here. And so maybe we'll find that masks will be worn in America in the future by people who are concerned about this but won't be mandated. And I suspect that is the direction that we're going and that we'll head. We can't live with constant government interventions associated with medical problems, or if we continue to have them, there will be a change in the body politic and in the way government relates to people.
So has the medical system made the adjustments? Are they in a position now to make the adjustments necessary to deal with?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the case. I think what's happened now, I mean, we haven't really substantially changed the number of our hospital beds in the country. We've even lost staffing.
Will we be working towards that?
Well, I don't know, because what's been reported now is that most communities don't have a hospital population problem right now, and they aren't having that problem. And even during Omicron, there were only limited time periods when the hospitals in most municipal areas, metropolitan areas, were being threatened with overcrowding. So, you know, the disease seems to be morphing in the direction of not requiring hospitalization at anywhere near the same kind of rate, and the resistance in the population to the disease is increasing. With, you know, we've had, I think, 75 million Americans have been confirmed as having had it. So if that number have had it, or if it's 50 million, but probably two or three times that number have actually had it. I've had it. I didn't report it to anybody.
Right.
I took the test and quarantined myself, and so did you.
You know, so everybody, did you hear it? Sandy said not to worry.
No, I didn't say that. Well, I didn't say that individuals shouldn't worry.
I'm only joking.
I think that society, that governments, that there's going to be much more of a caveat emptor approach. You know, buyer beware.
Yeah. So let's get to it. Let's have at it. It is not going away. This involvement, entanglement, if you will, this war, it's just going to different phases, and it's not going away. We're talking about the coronavirus not going away. This thing is just ramping up, and there's a possibility that even, you know, a year from now, this could still be going on. I mean, is that possible?
I don't know resource-wise whether that's possible for Ukraine, or for that matter, Russia, under the situation of the sanctions that have been imposed on them, absent getting an influx of both money and other kinds of supplies. Apparently, the chip shortage it would be serious for them with respect to building rebuilding much of their sophisticated weaponry, which relies on computer chips. So, you know, that's sort of a reminder. We're short on automobiles because of computer chips, and they might well have a difficulty creating sophisticated weaponry, as would Ukraine. Ukraine, apparently, the Neptune missile that was used to be fired supposedly at the Moskva ship that sank was supposedly built in Ukraine, and it was has guidance systems and all kinds of computer apparatus. So there's probably some limits on how long this can go, and we'll see what happens in the east of Ukraine. And there's been public talk about positions being taken by the parties that make me believe that there isn't actually that much space between them. I don't know what it is that Russia wants to accomplish in this that hasn't been offered by Zelensky, but he's offered to compromise on the Donbas region, giving it some other status. He's offered publicly to vow not to participate in NATO. And so, you know, which is take a neutral status. So, you know, and clearly if he's willing to compromise on the Donbas, that means he's ready to concede Crimea. So I don't know.
Let me ask you, Sandy, I've heard most of my life just, you know, the threat that Russia is. That technology, if a rocket, and I don't, that hit the ship, their flagship, and sank it. How great a technology do Russians have? I mean, was that a United States rocket or missile? Our technology so far advanced? Because, I mean, are you going to tell me that all of our tanks and all those kinds of things are as vulnerable to, you know, a rocket that can be sent to sink a battleship? I mean, for heaven's sakes, if that can happen, what about our battleships?
Well, I'm confident that, I mean, there are people who talk about, for instance, we have a substantial number of aircraft carriers. I think Russia has one, and we have a substantial number of them. But aren't they
that vulnerable?
Aren't they sitting ducks? You know, ducks. In fact, a duck floats in the water. It's kind of a perfect analogy. And I suspect they will be. You know, I suspect that the capacity to defend them from, you know, 1,000 drones attacking or whatever the potential attacking entities would be is a very, very difficult process. And so typically they've been used in situations where there's very disproportionate power. And I think Russia was of a view that their anti-missile protection on the Moskva would be sufficient because they felt there was such disproportionate power that they could use it with relative impunity in relatively close range, basically the range that their artillery and missiles had from that ship. And they found out they were wrong. Now the Russians, of course, have announced that it was just a spontaneous fire on the Moskva that caused it to explode and sink. And the Ukrainians are claiming that it was a Neptune missile. There's some credence to that because I think there was a recent missile attack on Kyiv, which the Russians sort of suggested was in revenge for the Moskva. So they're revenging a spontaneous fire.
But Sandy, that makes me, again, we've got on the drawing board more aircraft carriers, our country, to build and have in a different region of the world. If they can be taken down like that, shouldn't we start make us, you know, think?
Well, I'm sure that there are people who think about that. Our military, I think whether we spend far too much money on everything associated with our military, but I'm confident that our military does think about and worry about how they defend and how they can use their various war assets. And I'm confident that they think they have very, very sophisticated defenses for things like aircraft carriers. But we've got opponents out there, people who are developing, and we're developing, ways to attack all those defenses all the time. So it's kind of like thinking you've got the most up-to-date television hanging on your wall, even though you bought it 10 years ago.
Right.
It's not going to be the case. The computer updates. You know, everything with particularly related to technology evolves quite rapidly. And if for every offense, there's a good defense, and for every defense, there's a good offense. Hacking. You know, yeah. A lot of what we're talking about here really translates into, like, the ability to computer hack. And we all know that hackers are maybe one step ahead all the time.
You know, Sandy, all I thought about when I saw that ship, their flagship, you know what I mean? The best that they have, gone.
Yeah, people talk about it. I'm so sort of surprised that we put such great weight on it. I've been reading more about it, and apparently it is their most capable ship in their Navy. They have one diesel-powered, I learned last night, aircraft carrier. And so, but maybe navies are, and navies create a lot of portable
diesel,
military.
Diesel-powered aircraft carrier.
That's what I was told. Yes.
Listen, we've got to go to a break.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. Diesel-powered in 2022.
Well, you know, the only option to that is nuclear.
I know. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know. Yeah. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.